Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Better get your pencil ready, because you may want to jot down a few web addresses in the next few minutes. Have you ever checked to see if a book was in a library some distance away from your home? You can do that quite easily in Maine through the internet, using such sites as Ursus at the University of Maine's Fogler Library, or MaineCat, which is a catalog that covers the holdings of many public and town libraries in Maine. So, suppose you checked to see if a book was available at a library outside of your own neighborhood, and although you could have gotten a book through interlibrary loan, you needed it fast, and so you decided to just drive over and borrow it. When you arrive, you go to the place where the book should be on the shelf, but it isn't there. You look to the left, you look to the right, you look above, you look below, you pretty near do the hully-gully and turn yourself around. But no luck. No sign of that book. So, feeling somewhat foolish by this time for making such a long trip, you head to the circulation desk and ask if the book actually is in the library. Yep is the answer. It's here somewhere, says the librarian, but if it's not where it's supposed to be, someone might have taken it out to look at it and then put it back in the wrong place. In other words, it could be anywhere. You're out a couple of hours of driving and some gas money, and your chances of finding the book, if the library is of any size, are about as likely as finding a needle in the proverbial haystack. This type of scenario illustrates why a lot of librarians are very excited about a technology called RFID, which stands for Radio Frequency Identification. If a library adopts this technology, each book gets a very small RFID chip put in it, which is absolutely individual, and which, in addition to holding the book's catalog identification number, can even indicate on what shelf it should be put. And here's the great part. Since the RFID chip can be read by sensors, the librarian can find a book immediately, even if someone did take it out and reshelve it in the wrong place. Pretty cool, eh? The RFID is an example of an electronic product code, or EPC. It serves some of the same function as a barcode, or UPC, in identifying an item, except that unlike a barcode, an RFID chip doesn't have to be directly in the line of sight of a sensor, and it can contain a lot more information. Proponents see all kinds of swell uses for RFIDs, and many of them seem like obvious no-brainers. Parts used in a manufacturing process, for example, could be tagged as they come in the factory door, followed all the way through the manufacturing process, and logged out as they leave. And the process doesn't even have to stop at the factory door. The product can be followed through the transportation network, and all the way to the retailer's shelves, and even to the checkout line. Another example, your laptop computer could have an RFID chip in it, so if it gets lost or stolen, it would be a lot easier to get back. And pet owners are already having these chips embedded under their pet's skin so they can keep track of where Fido is, whether in or out of the house. About now, you're probably saying to yourself, if this stuff is so cool, how come it isn't already on every street corner and in every store? Well, one important answer is cost. These RFID tags cost a lot more today than imprinting a barcode on a product. That, however, is changing fast. So fast that Gillette was planning to embed an individual RFID chip in every consumer product it shipped by 2004. Now, however, Gillette's backed off and it says it won't put the chips in until at least 2013. Why the change of heart? Well, threats of a consumer boycott do have a way of getting a consumer company's attention. The question is, why a threat of a consumer boycott over RFID chips? Ah, that's the second reason RFID chips aren't everywhere already. Because if a manufacturer can follow products from plant to truck to supermarket, why not follow the trail right out the supermarket door and into your car and then into your house? If future cars have RFID tags in them, some already have a version of them, Gillette or whoever would know what kind of car is driven by someone who buys their products. And the psychometric profile begins to be built. To take it a step further, if home appliances have RFID sensors built into them, Gillette would not only know that you bought one of its razors, but even how often you did or didn't use it. That kind of potential ubiquitous surveillance has some people worried, especially since the newest RFID chips can be as small as a human hair, are impervious to water, you can't wash them out, and can't even be damaged by passing a magnet over them. You can imagine how excited marketers are about this technology. You hear glowing scenarios, for example, in which your refrigerator would know when you were running out of milk and automatically order it for you. All you'd have to do is walk into the store, pick up your order, and walk out a few seconds later without even going through the checkout line. The supermarket would simply debit your credit card, if you chose to associate it with your own refrigerator. Clothing manufacturers, too, are pretty excited. Benetton was set to weave RFIDs into some of its clothing lines and then install sensors in all sorts of places so the company could see what kind of locations its customers frequented. Another threatened boycott cooled their ardor some, and they've backed off on that plan for now. Critics of this technology are concerned because these tags are becoming so small and unobtrusive that it'll become easy to embed them into almost any product, and the buyer may never know. Some shoe manufacturers are already doing that, supposedly so they can keep left and right foot pairs together. But they can also tell where those shoes are anytime the shoes, with someone in them, pass a sensor. Here's the kicker. There are no regulations of any kind on this technology at present, and the technology is so attractive to manufacturers and retailers, and, critics add, to government agencies, that companies may be tempted to just start slipping these tags into their products without mentioning it, and consumers may never know what they're getting. Think you can find something the size of a human hair in that fuzzy new sweater? Good luck. There are wonderful uses for RFID technology, like tracking books in a library, but there are a lot of worrisome issues too, particularly for people who care about making an informed choice about what they purchase, and for those who are happy not to have their every movement tracked by marketers, or worse. For two visions of this RFID technology and its implications for every aspect of our daily life, take a look at these two websites. Got your pencil? The first is the website of the group at MIT that's promoting this technology and helping to make it work technically. That address is www.autoidcenter.org. There's a wealth of information there, including how a consortium of companies wired up the whole city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, to demonstrate how a universally distributed sensor network would work. On the other side of the story, check out www.stoprfid.com and its parent organization at www.nocards.org. There's plenty of food for thought at both sites and a lot of solid documentation as well. After you've sifted through the information, you might want to let your elected officials know what you think about it, because RFID is coming, and coming soon. There's a good chance it will sneak into your life under the radar if you don't spend a few minutes getting the facts and deciding if you want this technology in your life and your family's life, and if so, under what conditions. We're not too fond here of things in the electronic realm that sneak into our lives under the radar, whether they be for good or for ill. If you're of the same mind, please continue to join us for future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.